Then I have to announce here that our beloved Sister Kaufmann has gone to the Lord. We were at the funeral in December, and so we are also grateful to the Lord that all earthly suffering is over. And certainly, if we were to ask her if she would like to come back, she would say, "No, never." Blessed are all those whom the Lord takes to himself. I do not know if there is a true believer who would resist being taken home. I told you about a very old preacher who resisted going home at over 80 years of age. So everyone prayed that the Lord would not take him home yet. Then a very simple sister who had heard him preach for years, she said, "Brother so-and-so, you preached to us about how wonderful it is up there. Why don't you want to go there?" And that was a very good question. Oh yes, I sing with a poet. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. What do we as believers still have on this earth? Much sorrow, heartache, misunderstanding, and everything that goes with it. Blessed is he who knows that the Lord has prepared a place for us. Blessed is he who has the certainty that when this earthly life comes to an end, we will be with the Lord forever. This is not just a hope that we carry within us. It is certainty. And it is strange, if I may say so, that in our day the term house with mansions is so often used by politicians. One of our people said that someone before us had already spoken of a house with many mansions without mentioning our Lord by name. But this is what is written in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And just at the time when we as a church are preparing to be taken from this earth in the end times, to enter into heavenly glory and mansions, there is talk in earthly, political, and religious circles of a great house covering the whole of Europe, a house with many dwellings, with room for everyone, room for all political parties and movements, room for all religious movements. The same vocabulary is used, but the one has nothing to do with the other. Earthly, we see the coming together in our days, and we have also said this very clearly. The last world power is the United Europe, a power that is joined together, and on this power rides the great whore, as it is clearly written in Revelation 17. We see all these things coming to pass before our eyes, and we may remember the words of our Lord. When you see all these things coming to pass, lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. We are the first generation that knows it is the last. Before us, there were many generations who expected the Lord's return, but we are indeed the first generation who knows who knows that it is the last. And also this word here, then you will know, not just then you will suspect, then you will think, then you will know that your redemption is drawing near. Do you understand the difference? In past centuries, our brothers and sisters anticipated the return of the Lord. But in their time, Bible prophecy had not been fulfilled. They did not see what we see. They did not experience what we are experiencing. And that is why the difference is that they suspected, they thought it was time, but we know it. When you see all these things coming to pass, lift up your heads. For you know that your redemption is drawing near. Do we all know it? It is not a guess. We know it because of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy that we are close to the return of the Lord. Let me read a few scriptures and briefly go into it. Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40. Here I wanted to read verses 6 to 8. Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We have repeatedly emphasized how important it is to believe the Word of God in its original form, not to interpret it or explain it, but to believe it as the Scripture says. And I notice this again and again when I come to countries or churches that are found in tradition and not in the Word of God. How important it is that we carry the biblical truths entrusted and revealed to us and communicate them to the people of God, pointing out that the Lord has overlooked the time of ignorance, but now calls everyone back to the biblical pattern. This was right at the airport building in Nairobi, Bishop Gitonga's question, Brother Frank, if the Lord were to take his own home tonight, would these new converts be with the Lord or would they not be with the Lord? I said, if it were true that the Lord were coming, then they would be with the Lord. But I say, I know what you are getting at. He wanted to find an excuse that water baptism is not necessary for salvation. And there we have a point. Everything that our Lord has demanded and commanded is necessary for salvation. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. It is a commandment of our Lord that we must obey. A similar word to that in Isaiah 40 is found in Psalm 103, Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. I have drawn a parallel between this Old Testament passage and Ephesians 2 verse 10, and I would like to read it aloud here. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says the following. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In Psalm 103 we read in verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. From an earthly perspective, we are a pitiful creation. But from God's perspective, we are something precious, namely a creation for which the Lord has taken responsibility. I will read the verse from Ephesians 2 verse 10 again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Man must be immortalized by God. He must have an eternal destiny. We have said this often enough. Since God is from eternity to eternity, his plan must necessarily be a plan for all eternity. And his word, as we have read, also remains from eternity to eternity. It cannot be otherwise. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter refers to the Old Testament word and explains as follows. 1 Peter chapter 1, perhaps verses 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here the Old and New Testament are not separated. Here the gospel is presented before our eyes as the word of God. But the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. They simply say, if God wanted to save us, he would not need to do it this way. I do not know how far people can forget themselves in order to want to dictate to God how or what he should do. God is sovereign in all his actions, in all his decisions. Blessed are those who have so much reverence and respect for the Lord, that they truly accept and leave everything as God has given it to us and granted it to us by grace, we may belong to those who simply believe, who do not ask why this had to be this way or that differently, who simply believe what Scripture says, so that God's blessing may come upon us in full measure. Are you not glad that God has taken all rebelliousness out of us and led us into true faith, which has brought life, divine life, and thus we have been intimately connected with God. Our God is an eternal God. His word is an eternal word, and He has a people on earth who carry His eternal life within them. Yes, people who have passed from death to life. It is only a matter of time before the last ones are taken from corruption into incorruption, and from mortality into immortality. We know one thing, it will happen. And here too, I would like to emphasize, we are truly the first generation that not only senses and believes, but knows that it will happen. The first generation to be blessed by God, to witness the completion of His plan of salvation. I say it again. Paul wrote about it. The apostles expected it, and many believers in the nearly 2,000 years. But God has placed us in this time. What a privilege to be alive now. Today, the Lord would say to us, "Blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear, and your hearts, because they believe." For many prophets and apostles would have liked to see and experience what we see and experience, but they have gone home before us. But the Lord carries out His counsel to the end, and we are allowed to have the light of the Word. And in this light, we see the light. How often have we emphasized that when the prophetic word is divinely illuminated, it shines like a bright light in a dark place. But the word must be revealed by the Spirit, and that is why we are very happy to emphasize that God used our beloved brother Branham in a special way to place the Word upon the lampstand, to make the Word the revealed Word, to make the written Word the living spoken Word again, so that God's Word speaks to us anew. And we are led into this Word, yes, built up on the most holy foundation of faith, so that we can then also worship God in spirit and in truth. In verse 25 we read, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The gospel of Jesus Christ, a liberating and joyful message from our God addressed to us. Another word from Revelation 14 in connection with the term eternal, here with a reference to the gospel. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. The key term here is eternal or everlasting. The eternal God, who has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, has an eternally valid gospel that all people who want to be saved must accept in order to be saved. Here too, the word from the book of Acts applies. God has overlooked the times of ignorance. We do not live in the days of Luther, Zwingli, and Calvin, nor in the days of John Wesley, William Booth, Finney, Moody, or whoever they all were. We believe it. It cannot be otherwise. And if anyone asks how it will happen, I can also give you the answer. It is written in black and white in the Holy Scriptures, namely in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And in what context did he say this? In connection with a capstone. Let me read it to you. Verse 7, Zechariah 4, verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. The Lord God has taken responsibility. But it was precisely this last Monday evening in Nairobi that reminded me of Psalm 118. And in Psalm 118, there is something written that we cannot easily ignore. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. At that time, the builders had no place for the cornerstone. Even though it is the foundation stone, yet they rejected it. And then it goes on to say, This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. At that time, they rejected the Lord as the cornerstone. Today, they reject him as the capstone, accompanied by trumpets and drums. But they build their own house. And it is also written in the Word of God, Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What good are all these buildings if the cornerstone and the capstone are not included in this construction? Only those who build according to the divine pattern can expect that what is built will remain in the presence of the Lord. But imagine, the very next verse, or in the next verse, expresses this. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This was the day which the Lord had made. Salvation was to go from the Jews to the nations. They had to reject their Savior so that we could accept Him. For some, He was a stumbling block, a rock of offense. For others, for those who became believers, He was the precious cornerstone. And for us today, He is also the precious capstone. For He is indeed the first and the last, the author and the finisher, the Alpha and Omega. How wonderful that we can see this in the light of divine revelation. Not by might, nor by power, nor by what people can achieve, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And because this is so, we can be confident. Imagine if we had been tasked with bringing about the completion of the church. It would be impossible. We would not know how to do it. He knows. He knows the time. He knows how and when it should happen. And it will happen. As surely as the Lord has redeemed the church, Paul already saw it as a spotless bride before the throne, as did John on the island of Patmos. But Paul especially, in Ephesians chapter 5 and other scriptures, he already saw the church in perfection, without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, sanctified in the truth that was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, in order to receive not only theoretically but also practically the blessings of God that are necessary to be able to participate in the perfection. No one can shorten the path. No one can skip certain steps. We have been called to have all these experiences with God and then leave the perfection to Him until we come from faith to sight. And the Lord, who has begun His work, will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So it is written, not before, but unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord knows when that day is. One thing is certain, on that appointed day, the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ takes His own home, the bride will be perfect, washed, clothed in white, without spot or wrinkle, without any blemish. It will be done through the power of the Word, the blood, and the Spirit. It will be done. We believe this and would like to ask God to do all this in us for the glory and praise of His holy name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You from our hearts for Your holy presence. We thank You for Your holy Word, for Your holy blood, for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You have a church, that You Yourself sanctify, yes, that will be sanctified, For without holiness, no one will see God. Beloved Lord, perform in us a deep cleansing, a complete sanctification, a total consecration, a devotion to you, O Lord, that you may use us, that you may bless us and make us a blessing. O beloved Lord, we thank you. You are King and Priest. You gave your blood as Redeemer, as the Lamb of God, to bring forth a redeemed flock as a result. People whom you have made kings and priests, a holy nation, who may proclaim the virtues of God. Beloved Lord, it is divine reality, for now are we children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like you. Hallelujah! We praise you and we thank you for this day, for this service. May peace and joy wrought by the Holy Spirit enter every heart, that we may sing, when peace like a river attendeth my soul. O God, take away all unbelief, all doubt, glorify thy name, and confirm thy word, and make us grateful and joyful in your presence. To you, the Almighty God, we offer our heartfelt thanks once again for everything, also for the last missionary trip, on which many heard the word. Beloved Lord, let shepherds after your own heart arise, where you yourself can build and feed, where we can be regarded as God's co-workers. Beloved Lord, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Once again, we lay everything before you and ask you to lift up your countenance upon us. Guide us by your Spirit and give us your peace. Yes, lead us into divine rest, so that we may rest from our works and rest in God, in the work of God that was done on Calvary. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you. You faithful, eternal, almighty God, and we do so in the glorious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen.